all-time low, while violence by police is at an all-time high. To imply that police are justified in 100% of these killings is not only irresponsible, but incredibly dangerous. The death of another human being should be avoided at all costs, and when it happens, regardless of whether or not the person wears a badge, there should be a full investigation by a third party. Sometimes the line between is it legal and is it necessary becomes difficult to distinguish. Criminal justice professor at Webster State University, Robert Wadman, said, "In the judgment of the officer, is my life in jeopardy? Yes. At that point in time, they're legally grounded in using deadly force. But the question is it necessary? That's something that needs to be firmly addressed, for example, in training. Gang violence in America was once a national conversation, and rightfully so. However, with the legalization of marijuana in several states, these cartels are diminishing, and their once violent hold is slipping away. They no longer pose such a large threat. Americans are less violent now than ever before. So why are we seeing an increase in police violence in the recent events in Ferguson, Missouri, and the heavy militarization among the police forces nationwide have taught this country anything? It's that we're long overdue for a serious conversation about police reform." So there you have it. You know, I mean, it is. Police are killing more of our citizens than any gang or anyone else.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that we brought up here like months and months and months ago. Apparently somebody latched onto and now they're pushing it across the country. I don't know if you saw that. You know, we've been doing police shootings long before they've been headline news every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the things we talked about was liability insurance. And I know, I mean, insurance is something I pay attention to because liability is something that scares me. You got two happy people out there and you want to make sure that if some whack-a-mole goes out there. And I remember when I was a kid, we had some asshole that lived next door that was suing us in court because of our dog barking. Honestly,
yeah, anything.
We had a Siberian Husky, you know. How do you stop a Siberian Husky from howling? You don't.
Right.
Okay. There's just nothing you can do about it. But, you know, one of my things was, and I think it was after covering, lots of those New Mexico inappropriatenesses that were going on with the police department there in Albuquerque, was that those fuckers should have their own liability insurance. And then guess what? It's not going to come out of the taxpayer's pocket. It's not going to come out of the city coffers. And if you want to be an asshole gunslinging, shooting people in the head, then it's going to cost you. And you know what? After you've become a risk, no one will employ you, which means that you can't go to 49 other states and get a freaking job.
Bingo. Yeah.
Bingo. Well, I guess that's actually starting to happen in Minneapolis.
Yay.
They've been pushing it. The cop, anti-cop violence groups, Watch the Cops groups have been pushing it, and they actually got it on the ballot. Hold on. I'm going to scroll up there because I just saw this story this morning from same publication, Free Thought Project. Nick published it on Cop Black. This is Minneapolis. Here's how to force police accountability in your city. So, hey, we did some good.
Yay.
We gave someone the seed and they ran with it, and it's working now.
That's awesome.
In almost every city across the U.S., tax dollars are used to cover the damages and settlements. And, yeah, actually, I just had a video. It must have been from 2 weeks ago that outlined in all of the big cities how much it was costing taxpayers. And we are talking multi-millions, tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars to cover these quick draw McGraws for wrongful death suits.
And not one cop is ever fired or put in jail for killing somebody either.
Well, no. What do we got now? We got Ferguson on the brink of absolute utter riots that are going to touch off like race wars and martial law here in a second because of the last one. And actually, no, this isn't the last one. There's been many more since Brown was killed.
But the cops there have no fear of any accountability when things go crazy.
None. Okay, so in almost every city across the U.S., taxpayers are dollars are used to cover damages and settlements from lawsuits filed against police departments due to misconduct. Taxpayers, in essence, pay out massive amounts of damages for officers not doing their job properly. Additionally, the cost is compounded because taxpayers are forced to continue paying the salaries. Yes, when they've been let put off the force without pay pending an investigation, they go on paid vacation. City officials don't have the guts to hold officers accountable for their actions, so the new approach is necessary to hold rogue officers responsible for their conduct. Now, another thing that we had suggested that they do, and this was back like 4 years ago, we were talking about putting dash cams online, body cams. It seems that a lot of the police forces now are doing body cams, but you know, I've done a couple stories on those too, and I've always at the end tossed a question in there, is it really going to help? I mean, we've talked about, you know, accountability with those cameras. Oops, it wasn't working. I mean, how many times have we already seen that, right? Remember that kid that got killed in the parking lot? And, you know,
well, what they should say is after the third time your camera isn't working and there's a dispute, you're fired.
You're shit canned. Bye. Exactly. That's what it should be. They're not going to do that, but it should be. And the body cams are going to be useless if every time there's something controversial, it mysteriously goes offline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the one nice thing about it is if it's on there all the time, they forget about it. You know?
It's true, but you might not forget. I have seen recently a few bits of footage that have surfaced that incriminated the cop. And he obviously forgot that it was recorded. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. All right. How this can be achieved, though, is through a city charter amendment. Just like doctors carry malpractice insurance, and that is absolutely true. There's all kinds of other professions that have to carry some sort of insurance to cover their asses as well. Police officers should be required to carry professional liability insurance as a condition of their employment. Abso-frickin-lutely. Shouldn't be the taxpayer, especially if you have not proven yourself. You know, there should be like some sort of what do they call it when you first start a job? Probationary period, right? Where you're out like the first 30 days or 3 months or whatever. Right. For a cop, should be a bit longer because, you know, in 3 months, you might not find yourself in every possible situation. But like a year's worth of probation, that there doesn't need to be an investigation or long-term drawn out. You fuck up, you're gone. Bing. That's it.
Yeah, there has to be accountability. I mean, people are sick of it now.
And the thing is, when you're being put in a position to protect the public, and then you have, oops, I shot the hostage in the head, you know, how is that going to foster any type of community faith in your department? It's not. It's not. It's going to cause you major issues. All right. In Minneapolis, this process is already taking shape due to the efforts of Communities Against Police Brutality and Committee for the Professional Policing. Yay. Over the past 7 years, taxpayers in Minneapolis have paid out over $20 million to settle cases. Way more in some of these other cities. Sorry, I'll send you that link if I can. I think I actually have it in a Word doc here. I dropped it over the weekend. Minneapolis has paid out over $20 million to settle cases stemming from police brutality. In 2011 alone, $4.7 million in taxpayer money went to cover the cost of officer misconduct. Many other cities across the U.S. have faced similar losses with seemingly no recourse. Some cities, such as Minneapolis, by the way, my friend lived there for many years, so I've been there quite a number of times. I had no idea their police were just as bad as New Mexico. Some cities such as Minneapolis self-indemnify for police claims, while others rely on the League of Cities coverage. Most large metropolitan areas don't engage in effective risk management strategies, as it would be a political liability due to the strength of the police lobby and unions. Thus, police are rarely held accountable for their actions. Requiring police officers in large cities to carry professional liability insurance covers would be an excellent risk management strategy and provide accountability for officers in ways that city administrators cannot and will not provide. You know, I mean, this is even the same. If you know anything about how health insurance, group health insurance works, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you can buy your own health insurance plan, and that's probably going to cost you an arm and a leg. Or you can get into a group health insurance plan, and that group health insurance plan, the premiums are based upon the risk assessment of the pool of people that are involved in the insurance, right? So, like, if you work at a company that's a lot of older people that go to the doctor a lot, then you're not going to get a very good rate, right? But if you are insured by an insurance pool that has lots of young people who never go to the doctor, you guys are going to have stellar insurance costs until people start getting sick. Well, the same would hold true if they had some sort of group police liability program. And it would cause the cops to police themselves, I think, because guess what? You have two or three itchy fingers out there that start popping people, and everybody's premium is going to go up through the roof. Yes.
Yeah, excellent idea.
So there's going to be in the cops' vested interest to make sure that Joe, their buddy there, isn't going to be popping
trigger
somebody.
Happy. Yeah,
exactly.
Or tries to escalate problems to where they're beating on somebody. Same thing.
Right. They're going to step in as opposed to being afraid to step in and then being ostracized or fired or sent to a mental hospital when they speak up about it.
Right.
Yeah, and cops aren't going to stand there and watch another cop beat somebody down to a pulp if their insurance rates are going to go up. They're going to go in and stop their buddy.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Exactly. And I really think I didn't see in this, we'll finish reading the story, but I didn't see in the story where it looked like they were going to cover them for massive increases. It probably would be in their best interest to do it department by department. So you probably wouldn't want to insure all of Minneapolis together. Maybe you would, but then each precinct wouldn't have a large amount of control, let's say. You know, it would be more of an overarching state control over, you know, where if it was department by department, you know, your Joe beating the crap out of somebody is going to directly affect your premiums, and you should make sure that you're self-policing.
Yep. Yes, and that's the best way, because otherwise, you know, we're not going to change it from within the system.
No, we're not. We're not, but make it hurt.
Yeah, make it hurt bad.
Make it hurt their pocket is what I say.
And this idea that they can, you know, do abuse after abuse after abuse without being fired. 3 strikes and you're out.
Well, and that's the point of this, because here's the thing. Just like a doctor who's had so many malpractice suits that nobody wants to touch him because he's a hot potato, same thing's going to happen with a cop. You keep getting misconduct lawsuits against you, there's not going to be any insurance company on the planet that's going to insure you. And guess what? You can't go to another state and get a job as a cop.
Bingo.
Aww.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful solution.
It really is.
And make it hurt financially and not out of the taxpayer pocket. Because I'll tell you what, that is one of those things out there, that and like school taxes. When I didn't have a kid, why the hell should I be paying school taxes?
Right.
I didn't even have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
As the administrator can sit there and make $240,000 a year as he's eating his bonbons sitting in his office deciding whether or not tomorrow's going to be a snow day, I don't think I should be paying for a salary or for the teacher's plastic surgery. Thank you very much.
And you get punished for not having children because you don't have the deductions.
No, you don't get the tax deduction, and you still got to cough up the money to pay school tax that if you don't pay, oh, by the way, they'll come take your house.
Right.
You'll put it up for auction. Well, same thing with these cops. You know what? It's great that we have cops to make sure that our community is safe. But it's great when we're paying. And I mean, over here in a couple of these Rochester towns over the last few years, they actually had some itchy trigger fingers. And you know what? Every time you turn around, there was another scam, or not scam, or whatever you want to call it, another
police cover-up.
Yeah, something. Or, you know, now it's being exposed. It's like, oh, no, and he's going to trial, and, oh, he's going to go on paid leave. And I'm like, but wait a second. We're paying for all that shit. I want no part of it.
Right.
So, you know what? How long have I been touting personal responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Personal responsibility. The schools, you want to send your kids to public schools, you pay for public schools. You want to send your kid to private school, you shouldn't still have to pay for public school.
Right.
Which you do, by the way. You got to double pay. Same thing with cops. You know what? You want to go shoot people all day long. But you know what? It's coming out of your pocket then.
Yeah.
People, you know what? Money talks, bullshit walks, and that's the way it works. You know, any of these guys are like, oh, I was in danger because he was standing behind me with a camera filming, so I turned around and shot him.
Yeah, you know, and like a 12-year-old, why didn't they seen him going to pick up the gun. Why didn't they run in there, charge at him, and stop him from getting the gun?
Yeah, the kid was 12. I mean, come on. Oh, I felt I was in danger, and I mean, yeah, a 12-year-old probably pot-shotting in people's heads would be a danger. But a 12-year-old, you mean an entire police force couldn't find a way to take down a 12-year-old with all these non-lethal weapons that they supposedly were trained on, the taxpayers' dollars bought, right?
Exactly.
And they couldn't, like, take down a 12-year-old to determine whether or not the gun was real before killing him.
Well, you know, there's a clip with one that I got over the weekend, and it says in it, that they knew, the dispatcher told them, and they're saying they found out afterwards. Well, it conflicts with that first news report on it, because it said that they were notified that it was probably a fake gun, that it was a fake BB gun.
Lady Pitbull, if you can pull me in, I actually have, there's two or three clips here from last night about this shooting. We can actually listen to it if you want.
Yeah,
So bizarre. I pulled you in, and then there's Chuck's thing suddenly when I pull you in.
Is it the call's being forwarded, Chuck, or something?
So weird. It's weird. That's all I gotta say.
I don't see Chuck this time.
Yeah, I see him in there, but it's only because the phones are being forwarded to Chuck.
maybe
that's how we got him in there.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Okay, so here, let's check this out. We got a couple clips. Right. Let's see what they say. This is a 12-year-old boy in Cleveland. I know we're bouncing around a little bit, but whatever. It's Monday.
A 12-year-old boy is dead after a police shooting in Cleveland Saturday.
I'm sitting in the park. There's a guy in there with a pistol. You know, I saw his face. He's like pointing at everybody. The guy keeps pulling it in our. It's probably fake, but you know what? Scared.
There you go. It's probably fake.
Probably
twice
fake.
He said on 911.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Gun was fake, an airsoft replica gun that looks like a semi-automatic pistol, Cleveland police said, adding the orange tab that is supposed to identify it as a BB-type gun had been removed. But police say it's not clear if the responding officers knew if the gun might be fake when they arrived at the playground of the rec center where the 911 call was made. When an officer ordered the boy to put his hands in the air, police say the boy instead reached for his waistband.
There was no verbal or no confrontation. The officers ordered him to stop and to show his hands, and he went into his waistband and pulled out the weapon.
Police say the officer fired two shots, and the boy was hit in the torso. He died Sunday morning following surgery.
Now, let's stop here, because why are we aiming for the torso of a 12-year-old, regardless if it was a real gun or not, regardless if he was going to aim at the cops? He's a fucking 12-year-old.
Hey, you know, that's the kill shot right there in the torso.
Yeah, I know. Why would you aim? Why would you not go for the wrist or for the knee? And I know I've been through those training courses. You, if you're going to shoot, you kill. But a 12-year-old,
right?
Right. And you know,
and at least they didn't get him between the eyes.
There's two things there. One said they told him to, you know, put his hands up, and the one says he reached for his waistband. But then after that, they go, but he pulled the gun. Now, which was it? Did he pull it, or it was? Did he pull it, or was it still in his waistband? And he was reaching for it. Because if it was still there, and he was reaching for it, they couldn't tell if there was an orange thing or not.
Yeah. All right. Here. Well, let's hear a little bit more.
Emily's attorney told CNN, "It's devastating. A mom lets her son go to the park, then finds out he's been shot. We're starting our investigation. We're gathering our witnesses, and they're gathering theirs." The Cleveland Police Use of Force Team is also investigating.
Our job is to respond to assignments and to protect the community. And when an officer gives a command, we expect it to be followed. The way it looks right now, it was not followed.
CNN spoke to the boy's family attorney today, and when the issue of race came up, he said this. He said, "This is not a race issue. It's a right and wrong issue." We also spoke to the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office today and was told that it's possible that a grand jury could be convened as part of this investigation into what happened.
Well, I absolutely... Oh, hold on. We got playlists going here. I absolutely agree. I mean, I don't know about you, but they're definitely, I mean, somewhere along the way here over the last couple years, the lines got blurred between adults and children, you know.
Somewhere,
absolutely, where children started getting charged as adults, you know, with some of these crazy things. You know, remember the Slender Man?
Mm-hmm.
Those two girls, and I mean, there were some sick crimes, but as they've been working on trying to make sure that everyone is demonized, your next door neighbor, the dog, the you know, king of homecoming, the valedictorian,
that chihuahua that the cop was, his life was threatened by the chihuahua, so he killed it.
Oh, did he? I missed that one.
Oh, yeah. God. It's been so many.
Everybody's been demonized. And so now there is no drawn line between adults and children. We're just going to treat all children like adults. And if they don't listen, did you hear that? Well, you know, it's expected they're going to follow. And if they don't follow, then what? You kill them?
You throw dogs in there, too. You might as well. We can't just...
Hey, why didn't they... Actually, that's a good idea. Why didn't they let a German Shepherd go to take that gun out of the kid's hands? Because you know what? That probably would have worked.
Well, they were
probably would have scared the shit.
It would have scared the crap out of
it. It would have scared the shit out of the kid, and the kid would have dropped the gun and ran. Think about that.
Exactly.
Or a taser. They were close enough to use a taser.
A taser? Yeah, well, look at it. I mean, the sound cannon, all those non-lethal. You remember, they got all this investment into non-lethal when Occupy first started. That was what it was all about.
But
then we find out. Then we find out that they had snipers sitting at Occupy, right? But yeah, no. Why are they not using it? I mean, a dog, a taser, pepper spray, sound cannon, anything would have worked better than two shots to the torso.
Jeez, they could have tasered that kid. They could have tasered
done something.
Him.
For so many different avenues they could have taken.
Well, he was 12. Okay, 12. How many 12 to 16-year-olds aren't defiant of adults?
Yeah. You see him laying on the ground. He's a little boy. I mean, he's not a big 12-year-old either.
All right, I got one more clip if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Yeah,
and then I have one going in that people are starting going to do something.
Well, wait, we got to finish the story from Minnesota still. I just want to, we've talked enough about this Cleveland kid, and I finally found the clips, so hold on.
Okay.
On a swing right now, but if he's pulling it in out of his pants, I'm going to that people.
The 911 caller saw this, a BB gun that police say looked like a semi-automatic pistol.
Now, this report, if you noticed, they played the snippet of the 911 call that didn't say that it looked like it was fake. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Now they're manipulating the news.
Correct. That's correct.
This?
Where's Al Sharpton? Al Sharpton's getting ready to complain to Cleveland right now.
Guys, this one is CNN who did not play this part that said that it was a fake gun.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
When the local news did.
Yeah, they did. All right, here.
The orange safety indicator removed.
I'm getting ready to leave, but you know what? He's right here by the youth center or whatever. think he's pulling it in out of his pants. I don't know if it's real or not.
Shortly after, Cleveland police officers responded around 3:30 Saturday to the Cleveland Cadell Recreation Center.
Now, he said, I don't know if it's real or not in that, but in the other clip, he twice said, I think it's fake.
Yes.
Yep. They came to the outdoor playground on West Boulevard.
Upon response, they confronted a young man with a weapon. The officers exited the vehicle and ordered the young man to drop the weapon.
The 12-year-old was outside on the playground and didn't listen, according to police.
There was no verbal or no confrontation. The officers ordered him to stop and to show his hands, and he went into his waistband and pulled out the weapon. One of our officers fired two shots, striking the young man.
Authorities say an officer involved injured his leg during the incident, but how that happened remains unclear. The FBI, Internal Affairs, and the Use of Deadly Force team are investigating.
The FBI too.
Of course.
Did you get that part too? They started out with that one. They didn't say that the boy went over to the table and grabbed the gun up. It just said that he had the gun out right away. Like, they left that whole part out too.
Yeah,
they left a lot out.
Mm-hmm. All right, a little bit more. I'll tell you what, if you guys ever noticed in the Pigmind feed, there's always, well, not always, but sometimes there's 2, 3, 4 clips of the same story from different sources.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the reasons why.
Yes.
It's because they don't all tell the same story, right? And sometimes some tell more of the truth than others. So,
like this one is trying to project what the police did was right. When the local newscast said it like it was, they weren't.
Well, right. The local news at least tried to present some more facts. CNN seems to be hiding some facts.
Like, yeah.
The caller said it was probably a fake gun. Not once, but twice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
Don't come to work every day and want to use force against anybody. That's not what we do. We're part of this community. And that's not what our job is. Our job is to respond to our assignments and to protect the community.
Regardless. I don't think that they did the right thing. Here, we got a little bit more if you want to keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
We can. Yeah.
Party International. Now, for the second time in 3 days, U.S. police have fatally shot an innocent black civilian, this time a 12-year-old boy who was shot in the stomach by a policeman at a playground in Ohio. The youngster...
In the stomach?
Yeah, two of them.
Didn't they say the
shot.
Torso?
Well,
they said torso.
Oh,
well, torso is like your chest. I thought. I mean,
stomach.
I guess close.
Later, died in hospital. Officers thought he was carrying a lethal firearm, which turned out to be an air gun. This particular type of weapon is powered by compressed gas and fires small ball-like aluminium or plastic pellets. The boy allegedly refused to put his hands in the air and instead reached into his waistband, which is when one officer pulled the trigger twice.
So there you go. Reached into his waistband.
Right. Didn't even have the gun out yet.
Mm-hmm. I love that accent.
Yeah. Plus, you know, it's RT. And remember, RT has this alter agenda. So, you know, even though they're trying to cut U.S. off at the knees, typically their news has lots more details. Yeah.
Yeah.
To expose. All right, here. We'll listen to the end of this.
Had been responding to reports of a male brandishing a weapon there. Well, on Facebook, the police say the toy gun had its orange safety indicator removed. Such stickers are required on all imitation weapons so they can be identified as non-lethal. Before the boy was shot, a caller had twice told a 911 operator that the pistol was probably fake.
Thank you, RT. Yeah. See, they at least pointed that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Similar tragedy only last Thursday when a rookie...
Oh, here's the other one. I wonder if this is the one in New York City, the one that we talked about early. I mentioned it.
New York cop gunned down an unarmed 28-year-old man who was also black. The city's police commissioner said the victim was, quote, totally innocent, calling the incident an unfortunate tragedy. He added that the policeman's gun may have fired by accident. NYPD officers were patrolling a housing project and met the victim on a darkened stairwell late on Thursday.
I actually had read a story. The guy was just either coming home from work or going out to eat or something. And he was walking up the stairs in the project, and the cop shot him. Killed him. Yeah, he killed him. And they even came out in New York, and they admitted that, whoops, they shot an innocent guy. And by the way, it was a rookie cop that killed him.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Again, like I said, there should be some sort of... you know, probationary period. Why are rookie cops running around with loaded guns? Maybe that should also be a requirement. You know, you got to have so many hours on the force with a senior level official before we give you real ammo.
Yeah,
give them rubber bullets.
They could spend that money that they are spending on militarizing themselves and training.
Send them to freaking Vegas to Front Sight for a 4-day class that we found out is way better than most of the police departments get for training.
Bingo.
4 days and 10
one.
Hours a day, man, in the 100-degree heat. Tell you what, by the time you get out of that, you're good.
And not only that, how about hand-to-hand combat, too? They never even teach cops hand-to-hand combat. I've got more hand-to-hand combat than most of our freaking sheriffs, and the sheriff told me that.
Most of them are too overweight to even attempt doing that.
Well, then they better be made to do it.
There should be a health requirement.
Used to have to be in good physical shape. But anymore, I mean, these cops couldn't run 3 feet without running out of breath.
Which is why we shoot.
Donut shop.
Well, that's why we shoot, because we can't run more than 3 feet. So let's ping, ping, ping.
It's a video game.
Yeah, all right, here, we'll listen to the rest of this.
And there's already a racially charged atmosphere regarding black civilians being killed by police. In Ferguson, around 100 FBI officers have been deployed to the city, which is still awaiting a grand jury verdict on whether to charge a policeman with shooting dead unarmed teenager Michael Brown. The bolstered security force joins police and National Guard troops there. As speculation grows, the decision could be announced during Sunday. Earlier in the week, a number of people were arrested during two successive nights of street protests.
And you know, the thing is that it wasn't announced Sunday, so it very well may be today.
Yeah, I guess they're getting a lot of conflicting evidence and they're having trouble sorting through it.
Well, yeah, like the two autopsy reports.
Right.
The one by the city and the one that the parents hired the independent coroner to come in.
Yeah. Really different. How can two coroners look at the same body and come out with such different ends?
Yeah, that's pretty nuts. All right, here. Yeah.
But it also emerged that even revealing the scale of the police presence there can land you in trouble. A U.S. Navy veteran says he was sacked from his job at a hotel in St. Louis and branded a terrorist for posting these pictures here that you can see, the hotel car park full of squad cars. He's been telling his story to RT.
Went to work on Friday and got called in the GM's office, and he told me to remove the picture in the short video, in which I did. And then it was a normal work day after that. Then come Saturday... I get called back in the office, and the head of security for Drury was there, and he told me that I no longer will be employed with the hotel due to the fact that I posted the picture and the video on social media. Well, he actually called me a terrorist for doing it, and that I dishonorably served my country in doing so. We never...
Wow.
Now, did you guys hear about that when it first happened?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about, like, now trying to put the kibosh on citizen journalism.
Yes, that's exactly it, Jules.
All he did was got pictures of the parking garage loaded with DHS vehicles. I mean, and it was in Ferguson, so no big freaking surprise.
Right, everybody knew that anyway, so what the hell is he being called a terrorist for?
Terrorist, and they fired him. You're a freaking terrorist for taking pictures. Watch.
Unbelievable. Yep. There's the precedence being set.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit more.
Have, 70-plus Department of Homeland Security vehicles just sitting in a parking lot, waiting for training. I mean, I live in St. Louis, Missouri, not near the East Coast where DC's at. So I know they didn't. I knew they weren't doing training.
And there you go.
Whoops.
So I think we looked at least the 12-year-old pretty sufficiently. Let me just disconnect so we don't echo here.
I have one more I'd like to go over before we leave this part.
Yeah, and well, can I finish? Well,
oh, yeah, go ahead.
I still had the rest of what we were doing before from if you have another police shooting.
Yeah, and right near Wendy. It's a man calls police to escort his girlfriend. Cops show up and shoot her in the head.
Oh, yeah, I read that one at dinner time to my family.
Right, I like
and the told my husband, I said, don't ever call the cops on me when I'm ranting and pissed off.
Right.
Because you know what? They're going to show up here and they're going to shoot me in the head.
Yeah. But anyway, this is from Anti-Media. It says, a 40-year-old woman and mother of three from Ann Arbor, Michigan, was shot and killed Sunday night after allegedly confronting police while holding a knife. The woman's boyfriend, Victor Stevens, 54, challenged the police on their handling of the incident, saying that the use of lethal force was excessive and that the situation could have been resolved through non-lethal. Steven said, me and her, we had an argument. Glass was broke, so I called the police to escort her out. Police were called approximately 11:45 p.m. by Steven to escort his girlfriend from his property. When officers arrived, Steven was in a separate hallway in the house away from where the incident occurred, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. There were five other people in the house. They said, freeze, and the next thing I know, I heard gunshots, Steven said. Significant questions are being raised regarding the circumstances surrounding the event, the use of lethal force in the encounter by Ann Arbor police, and the investigation being launched by Michigan police into fatal shootings. Ann Arbor police issued this statement, and Police Chief John Seto asked Michigan State Police to conduct an investigation into the incident, saying that those involved in the shooting and the community deserve an objective, unbiased review of the facts surrounding the incident. Whether that goal can be achieved remains to be seen, as there are clear conflicts of interest with having police investigating themselves, as well as potential difficulties in ascertaining facts as a result. This concern over objectivity is what prompted Wisconsin to become the first state to mandate outside reviews and police killings earlier this year as a result of activist movements in the state. Retired Air Force Officer Michael Bell, an advocate for this legislation, had filed a wrongful death suit against police, who cleared themselves of any wrongdoing after killing his 21-year-old son in an altercation. Bell hired his own investigators and submitted a 1,100-page report to the FBI and U.S. attorneys, which brought important evidence and circumstances to light surrounding the incident and police response and led to the case being settled after 6 years in court.
Wow.
In researching, Bell also found that in 129 years since the Police and Fire Commission were created in the state of Wisconsin, we could not find a single ruling, a police department or inquest or a police commission that a shooting was unjustified. That is 129 years, not one cop killed anybody that it wasn't justified.
That's crap.
It is insane. Okay, and then it goes, demonstrating how difficult it can be for police to be impartial in their own investigation and citing lack of accountability as the culprit, Bell kept organizing and fighting for what ultimately became Wisconsin's law mandating outside reviews. Every community needs to do this.
Absolutely. You know, the majority of these investigations are done by their, what do they call that?
Internal affairs.
Thank you.
Right. And I've been yelling this for years. Police should not police themselves. It's like criminals policing themselves. They're not going to find themselves guilty.
Absolutely not. Would you find yourself guilty?
Hell no. You know.
You and all your buddies?
Yeah.
No, that isn't how it works.
Right. Okay, then it goes on. Whether the investigation finds the killing justifiable or not, the question will remain of whether the deceased mother of three could have been disarmed and taken into custody without facing lethal force. Now, the fact that she had a knife is only what the police are saying, because no one was in the hallway except them. But, and then it goes, and to what extent police should be responsible for attempting non-lethal means of resolution. While some circumstances certainly justify the use of lethal force, it is intended to be the last in ending an allocation and only to be used when in extreme danger. If the facts come
to... Mm-hmm. Can I just point out, we are talking about a domestic dispute that this
right.
happened in.
She right.
broke a glass or whatever. A glass was broken, so who knows? It was a window or if it was a glass. But it was a domestic dispute to have her escorted off the property. Not she broke into my house and she's terrorizing my family
right.
with a knife, tying them up, torturing them.
Right.
And we've been kidnapped for 8 hours. No,
yeah.
My girlfriend and I had a fight and I'd like her escorted off the premises.
And also he said he heard freeze and then right away gunshots. You know, I mean, you got to give someone time to freeze.
Yeah.
You know, okay, there's just one more paragraph. While some circumstances certainly justify lethal force, it is intended to be the last resort in ending an altercation and only to be used in extreme danger because the price for society is far too steep. Three children will now enter adulthood in society with their mother having been taken from them by violence. And regardless of whether this woman was a good mother or not, this is not the kind of practice that engenders building a better society. That's it. Yeah.
But okay.
Shooting everyone.
Okay. Yeah. Can I interject here?
Right.
We talked about this in my Krav class that evening, the day that it happened. And I said, "What? Couldn't there have been any other, like, way to disarm her? Because my instructor is a Washtenaw County SWAT team lieutenant, so he is a cop." And I was like, "Well, look, dude, if you were in that place, I mean, couldn't you, instead of shooting her, couldn't you have just, like, disarmed her?" And he's like, "You know what? I probably would have shot her too, because I'm not gonna, if somebody was coming at me with a knife and I had a gun in my holster, I'm not going to bother trying to go hand-to-hand combat with her. I'm just going to shoot." And so I see what his point was. And apparently she came after these cops. She had it up and she was coming after them and they shot her. That's what the story was.
I didn't read that.
That's what he told me. And these cops, they all, you know, talk to each other. You know what I mean?
But regardless, let's go to any gun battle with a knife and see who wins. I mean, why would you shoot to kill then? There should be some other means.
Yeah, they shot her in the head.
Well, see, that's what I
said,
too.
That's where they aim for it. They tell you to aim for between the eyes. That's the kill shot. But, and I'm telling you what, you go to one of these classes where they teach you to shoot and they teach you tactical, they teach you to kill.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you what. I kept arguing in the class because I was like, you know, I don't think I could do this. I mean, I'd blow his freaking his ankle apart or his knee or his wrist or his shoulder.
It's easy to miss the ankle and then they would be on you.
Well, you know what? Shot number two then has to be the lethal kill shot. But shot number one, the first place I would not aim for is between the eyes.
Why
and the second place I would not aim for is the chest. It's not.
Why couldn't they use the baton to deflect the knife?
There you go. Or kick her feet out from underneath her. I mean,
right.
If you took that Krav Magov class, you know what? You know how to do that easy. You go floop, and they fall to the ground.
And there's like pain stuff. But I mean, she was actually had it like in a strike position apparently, and she was going after him, and
they could have used their baton to deflect it. I don't know to murder her right off the bat. And the guy said freeze, and then bang, bang, bang.
They could have shot it out of her hand, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, they
there's
could've...
a lot of different things besides blowing her brains out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sick.
And, well, I don't know. They were in the hallway in a room all by themselves, and we all know that cops lie to cover their asses.
Right. Well, that's true. And you know what, Jules? I think the solution really, really is the insurance, those what you're talking about, because they would, believe me, find other alternatives.
And the first year probation.
Reliable. If they, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? If there's a killing, you have to go on probation regardless. Right. If you kill somebody, now you're on, you know, hyper-vigilant, and you're going to have a partner or somebody assigned to you at all times, like you're a rookie again.
Yes.
I think.
Yep.
You better be damn sure you should be shooting to kill.
They should be going through retraining before they get back out on the force.
That's a good one, too.
They should retrain all of them, because the mindset that's out there right now isn't working.
No, shoot first, ask questions later. That's what they're teaching them.
Yep.
Look at more people are being killed by police than gangs, than any other, thing that
except in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then cops, you cannot have cops investigating themselves. I don't care what you say. They're going to cover each other's butt. Remember that blue honor roll thing that you never snitch on your partner. So, you know, it's time for an independent. And their argument is always, well, an independent wouldn't be able to know how to evaluate a place. Excuse me, I'm smart enough to tell if someone went by the rules or if they were excessive force. You know, that
isn't that what a grand jury is? Like, yes. Kind of an independent investigation?
Yes.
Kind of?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Why aren't these so-called, Ferguson head leaders, these protest leaders, how come they're not talking about viable solutions like we've been talking about here all morning, but no, they're just talking and they're just publishing maps of targets of
now it's escalating, I guess, between Anonymous and the KKK, which
tension is building.
You know, I was thinking about this. You know, there are a lot of people that are getting behind this Anonymous attack, but this is almost seeming really staged to me.
It does to me.
I know, me too.
You know, I'm watching now how these are all headlines, and we're getting the KKK like all mixed up in this Ferguson shit and Anonymous. So now we got these two sides. We got, you know, the people who are for the cops. You know, because a lot of them are in those groups and, you know, believe in, you know, they're looking at the neighborhood and whatever. They're like, yeah, this is like right versus left almost, like this paradigm.
It is.
But in this other realm, you know, and then involve Anonymous. And I mean, it's great if Anonymous really is out there, like trying to be the weapons for the people.
Right.
But it's not so great because we got to remember cyberspace has been very, very, very compromised by the government. We have Keith Alexander, who got Cyber Patrol amped up to the nth degree, and this new dude that's in there. I mean, I don't know if you've been watching him, but he's been coming out, and oh my God, is he evil looking?
Yeah, yeah.
The new guy that took over, and everything he says, he just looks like he's sneering.
You.
He's really scary looking, and you know, I don't know. You know, they're down there. I didn't know that Keith Alexander would go down to Black Hat in Vegas and try to recruit. And I mean, we saw the last couple times.
Right.
All the hackers are like, hell no, we're not.
I know. It was
great. We don't trust you. But you know what? There are ones there that'll do anything for a carrot. And we'll look at that. Don't let me forget to look at the study about greed, okay? Because money and greed and banking is really what the study has shown that has kind of helped corruption along.
Let's also not forget what the FBI just did. They went in there and had a, quote, 2-month investigation into the new White Panther Party. And look,
I saw that.
And now they found all these, like, bombs and stuff that were in, like, these, you know what I mean? And they set them up. So that's a factor, yep, too. That's another factor that's being thrown in here. And then I read that they were sending 100 FBI agents into Ferguson now. So,
well, they just said that in that clip we just heard.
Exactly.
Are they holding back the grand jury's decision so tension will
so they could get
more
prepared?
That's
too
right.
Yeah.
That's
and remember
right.
The weather warmed up, it was really,
yeah,
cold, so people,
yeah,
were kind of, you know, far and few between, but the weather warmed up and,
yep,
your crowds are going to be really blossoming now.
Can anybody say false flag?
Almost. I mean, because why did they pick, I keep asking, why did they pick this one when there are black people being shot every day in ghettos across this country, but this one, they blew this up like they planned it.
Well, you know, Al Sharpton, if he had any, he's like FBI informant, obviously we know.
Yeah, and he admitted that too.
He
by the way,
that if any of these so-called protest leaders had any salt. Anything worth their salt, they'd be heading right for Cleveland right now, protesting this kid, because that is more of a justified cop shooting. Well, wait, let me rephrase that. That's a more unjustified cop shooting than this incident here, because this guy that got shot by the cops in Ferguson had just stolen from a freaking party store. He had just stole items, and he was like,
yeah, you know, I was still trying to find, I thought there was question about that. You know, my friend and I were talking about that the other day, and I was like, well, I vaguely remember there being some sort of like security cam footage. Wasn't it from like a 7-Eleven or some gas station store? And then after the fact, though, they came back out and they said, no, it ended up that was not him on the footage.
Oh, well, I didn't hear that part of it, so, you know what?
Well, you know what, and I was trying to find proof of that, but I think that video was actually on the channel that got taken down, so I don't know now.
Interesting. So, yeah, there's crap being, you know, blocked, there's crap being pulled off the internet, there's stuff, there's all kinds of nefarious shit going on here.
I just, you know, well, the fact that kid was fired for taking the pictures of the DHS vehicles, I thought was kind of odd. Can that really happen? Does he have a lawsuit on his hands? He was fired, honestly, for taking pictures. Or could they say that they're a hotel and that's their privacy policy? Nobody wants to check into a hotel and then have to worry about employees of the hotel taking pictures of them and putting it on the internet.
You'd have to read their policy to find out.
That's a fine line there, maybe.
And is that, you know, violations of free speech? Do you have the right to take pictures anywhere and post them? You know, even like with the drones. Kids flying drones and taking nudies of people on the beach, but they're not bothering anyone.
Right, right.
And I mean, it's public land. And do you have any right to privacy? Just like this was a parking garage, but it was owned by the hotel.
Right.
So who knows?
Wow.
All right,
and it's outside the hotel. I mean, it's in the parking lot, but there's no expectation of privacy there anyway.
Well, but it's the property of the hotel and the parking garage.
But that
is it
would
not?
Be like, if I'm in my yard outside, that would mean you couldn't take my picture. But that's not how the law works. I have no expectation of privacy when I'm out in my yard where people can see me from the street.
Well, that precedent was with the taking pictures with the drone where it held, it was used in a conviction or at least in a trial. I don't know if the guy was ever convicted. Was that one that we talked about a few weeks ago again of the, he was, you know, within so many feet of his house. And once he's beyond that certain radius of his abode where he would expect privacy, it was no longer private, even though he was on his own property still.
Right. So, you know, anytime you don't have the expectation, like if you're in your room and you have the curtains drawn, you have the expectation of privacy. You don't expect anyone to be seeing you except for cursing the NSA. But
right, from your laptop camera.
Yeah, from your
and the Russian hackers, don't forget
that. Yeah, that too. But if you're outside in your yard and there's a highway out there, you have no expectation that no one can see you. And that's in the law. So that's why cops are getting in trouble all the time for saying we can't film them when they're out there. Well, we can legally. I don't care what they say. Legally, we can.
Well, that was a Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, we can film them. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what they say.
Yeah, cops are still arresting people for doing it.
They are. Did you hear in Tarpley's show? There's that guy in New York City has to go to trial January 23rd for filming the cops in New York. And he's actually up on multiple felonies, too. They, like, totally trumped up the charges on him.
Oh, my God.
Now, what, if our judicial system is not corrupt, he would be let go. And then he wouldn't even go make it to court.
No.
But if he gets convicted of this, how can anyone say our system is not corrupt when the Supreme Court said we can video him?
He's going to have to then pay to come back and whatever they call it. It's early, guys. I need another cup of coffee. You know, when you do after you get convicted and then
appeal.
You
appeal.
Appeal. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. He'll have to appeal and then continue to pay for a lawyer.
Right. Now, he's supposed to be innocent until guilty, but is he in jail? Do you know if he's in jail or if he bonded out?
No, I think he's out because he was interviewing. Yeah.
But, you know, this is, how can the district, I would want to get a different district attorney because why is he even taking this case up since it automatically the Supreme Court said we could, and then they're
he didn't mention what all the charges were, but he said that a whole bunch of them were felonies and then there were a few misdemeanors, so it sounded to me like they trumped up the charges beyond just filming.
Well, they do, you know. I have a training manual.
They do that. Yeah, very.
I have a training manual for the police department, and in that training manual they teach them how to build up charges and up so they
stick. So if something gets removed, they'll still have them. I mean, how many cop shows have you watched in your lifetime on TV? That's exactly what they do.
Right.
They get them on all kinds. So if other ones get wiped out, they stick. Something sticks.
Yeah, the DEA, district attorney can say, okay, if you will plead guilty to this, we'll drop all of these. But you're still saying you're guilty to something you're not.
And that's a problem for me. I mean,
me too.
I do something wrong or I wrong somebody or I lie or whatever, and I don't, but I mean, if I were in that situation, I have a very strong moral conduct, so that's why I wouldn't be lying. But if it for some reason, I don't know, let's say there was a really good reason that I lied about something to cover something for somebody or whatever, if I were caught... And that's the game I've always played. If I were caught, you tell the truth. It's the end of that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? You fess up to whatever you did wrong. So if they came to me and said, well, you know, here's a plea deal. You need to then plead of anything. They'd be putting me away for life probably because I wouldn't be playing the game. I wouldn't be able to admit to something I didn't do.
When they come at you like they did my friend and said, we have a 99% conviction rate, which they do, and I could send you away for 12 years and you will not be raising your daughter. Now, that's how they threatened
her. Or you'll get a year and we do this plea deal and you tell them that you did take the money.
Or we'll put you on probation. We'll put you on probation if you plead guilty to this part. We'll drop all these others and you can stay home and raise your kid. Now, that is very scary to
a mother. That's extortion.
Yeah.
It is, but they can do it.
And when you're released, like if somebody posts bond or if they let you out on your own recognizance or anything like that, after you've been arrested, if you sign those little pieces of paper that they make you sign, those are an admission of guilt.
And do you know
sets the stage for these little plea deals that come down the line?
You're on bond if you're bailed out. If you even so much as run a stop sign, that doubles the charges against you because you are not allowed to break any laws while you're out on bond. Even a traffic ticket could do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, the ticket is to don't sign anything that they give you. Don't sign anything.
Right. And like one guy did here, and they took him to jail, stripped his clothes off of him, and put him in a cell where everybody was walking past him for 72 hours.
Wow, why didn't that end up on Live Leak?
This was 10 years ago.
Oh, but, yeah,
before it was local here because the guy refused to sign the ticket. And they found out, Because if you refuse to sign a ticket or refuse to show ID, they can take you into custody for 2 hours to find out who you are.
Can I tell you, ID, I saw them beat the crap out of a university professor a few months ago. She was crossing the street in the wrong place, and they jumped her, said she was jaywalking. And first they wanted to see her ID, and she's like, why do I have to show you my ID? Well, ma'am, we want to see your ID. You're breaking the law. She's like, what do you mean I'm breaking the law? You're jaywalking. She's like, you know, are you kidding me? Let me see your ID. She's like, I'm not showing you my ID. I'm a college professor. What are you talking about?
And they
freaking tackled her.
Yep.
She had a skirt on. She was suing them because her skirt was all hiked up. Her underwear was sticking out in the middle of the street. And they attacked the woman because she would not show her ID.
Well, isn't that a Supreme Court decision, too, that you have to show your ID?
No.
I didn't think that. No one has any right to know who the hell I am unless I'm a perpetrator of a crime that I've been charged with.
Or you're under suspicion because there is a burglary down the street and they're checking everyone's. But other than that, if you're just walking down the street, they can't come up and say, let me see your ID.
How is that even right, though, Zori? Checking everyone if there's a burglary up the street so everyone's guilty unless you prove yourself innocent? I don't think that's right. Because
that's some
of these shootings that have happened where cops have, remember last summer, they crawled in through someone's bedroom window and shot the owner or shot the dog because the dog attacked them. And they said that there was a bucket outside the window and they thought that maybe the robber climbed in through the window. So they went in through the window. What?
Yeah, they didn't shoot anyone, but they...
No, they killed the dog. They killed the dog.
That's right. They killed the dog and threatened that girl because she had a weapon. And they threatened and were threatening.
I mean, I remember we talked about that because I was like, you know, anybody climbs in through my bedroom window in the middle of the night, I don't give a shit who you are. Bang.
Right. And with the excuse that they were looking for a burglar, why didn't
I don't care.
Go to the front door and knock?
Exactly, or ring the doorbell and say, are you okay? Or robocall all the neighbors and say, there's a perp in your area.
You should be shot.
You don't climb in through somebody's bedroom window in the middle of the night, and I don't care who you are.
And remember, she had just seen someone walk past the kitchen window when she was doing dishes, and then they showed up in the house. She'd seen someone, she didn't know who it was, walk past the kitchen window. That's why she went and got her weapon, because she heard someone and then she had her weapon because she seen someone.
I think that's a different case, but there were multiples.
Yeah,
not with the dog. The dog is when they were sleeping. There were multiple cases of
them. There's so many out there. We can't even keep them straight.
I know. I mean, really, we've been talking about this stuff for so long. And I mean, at least now you have to say the alternative media is all over this shit, which is great.
The statistics are proving everything we have been saying.
I mean, think about it. Go back like 3 years ago, even. We were talking about this, and there was no press. It was very rare that you ever saw one of these stories make it to national news.
Look, how many was it over the weekend? Five? Three, four, five?
Yeah.
I know of two, and then you brought up a third. Or you brought up two, and I brought up a third.
Right, so you
at least, and those are ones that just made the news.
Yeah, those are the ones that made the big headlines. Who knows how many others there were?
So let's get back to this insurance thing. So, what we were talking about an hour ago was a way to protect the people against trigger happy cops. It was a suggestion we had made a long time ago, and it looks like now they actually have made it into something solid, and they are proposing it in Minneapolis, and it's wonderful. They actually even have a blurb out of the document that they're trying to get voted on. So basically, it's this. Have cops get personal or professional liability insurance to cover themselves if they are convicted of wrongful death suits by being trigger happy.
Independent investigations.
Well, right. And that's something that they don't call for in here. There's probably a couple other things, which right off the top of my head, I don't remember. While we were going over those other stories, I was adding things in my head and I thought, I should write these down. And of course I didn't. There are a few things besides the liability that I think definitely would make a difference. Independent investigations, training. That was the other one. They had to go to training. If they shot someone, they went on probation, had to have a buddy, and retraining.
Exactly.
They aren't put right back on the force.
You know, I think that these things that you're mentioning right now would solve the entire problem. It would solve
and
the problem
wait,
overnight.
Here's the other thing. The stuff we talked about back in our original days of ever doing radio was to take these cameras, and this is before they even had cameras on cops. Remember, we talked about that long before they ever even thought about cameras on cops. But, I mean, I do this shit. This is what I did for a living. Webify your web cameras. Put them on a big dashboard with all real-time cameras. You can drill down in the database by state, by county, by precinct, down to badge number. And you have to be streaming. And we've talked about this before. You go offline, you get docked for your pay. That's all.
Right.
And you go off three times within a week? Well, now there's going to be an independent investigation as to what is wrong. It starts with IT. It starts working its way up. Why your camera in particular keeps going offline. But look, you have all these reports of people coming in with black eyes, broken legs, gunshots in their heads.
Dogs killed.
Dogs killed. Chihuahuas, terrorists, you know. I think that there is a very small things that could go into play.
Yeah,
and if they're found guilty of abuse, they go to jail.
Yes.
They don't go in for retraining and all that.
Rehab.
You know? Yeah, or whatever, get to resign. They go to jail just like any other citizen if they killed somebody.
Right. You get stripped of your protected status once you kill someone and you're found guilty of whatever, that you manufactured evidence or manipulated the truth.
They could very easily do the video, because I know here we can listen to real-time dispatching of the police department.
Sorry, from a technical perspective, these guys all have notebook computers in their cars now.
Right.
Okay? They all do. It's mounted. There's mounts on the dashboard, and it sits right there. Well, guess what? They either have some sort of Muni Wi-Fi, they're setting up in New York City, or they got 3 or 4G with cell.
That's true.
They're sending their data back and are receiving data and sending data. When they run your car reports on your license plate, like in the old days, they used to call it in. Now they don't.
Now
they go right to their computer in the car. So guess what? You got a connection, and you could have a little wireless hotspot right on your dashboard with your wireless dashboard cam and your two body cams for the driver and the co-pilot.
There you go.
Everything could be streaming live right now. And I'll tell you what. All that is paid for with taxpayer fucking money. So there, we have every right to demand real time. And guess what? It wouldn't cost them anything. I will donate my time to give them a portal that I could have set up in probably 20 freaking minutes right now.
Honestly, that's awesome.
We got going right now. Give me that video. I could have it up in 20 freaking minutes. I could have every camera. Give me all the playlist IDs. I will tell you how to set it up. We could have real-time video now.
Wow,
I got it all.
Give
me a domain name. I got it. I got it all. I've been working on this for almost 4 years now, and guess what? It's ready to rock and roll.
Wow.
Wow, we need to bring that to our local community supervisors or whatever, and project, you know, if we can put the how it could be done and the cost effective and present it to them, we might have a chance.
I could give it to them for free. Throw a Google ad for me on the bottom and it's yours.
I'm telling you.
That's awesome. All you got to do. I'll put a Google ad on the bottom and you guys
can have it. We are getting the cameras on the police force here. So if I had the stuff to present to them to say, why can't we stream this live? So then there is no question about what's going on. Huh.
You see why it's got solutions.
How would they refuse it if it wouldn't cost them anything? What would be their excuse for not
doing it? Well, here's the only problem. I definitely would have to have someone on staff somewhere that would be covering every police precinct if they had a technical issue. I mean, that couldn't be me to deal with for free forever.
Yeah.
No. And pay for the hosting. But I mean, it could be done, guys. It's not, you know what? You're going to have a company come to you and go, oh, yeah, we could do this for you, but it's going to cost you $872,000.
Right.
You know, I could do that too.
Like all our cameras at the signals, they aren't making money yet here. They are still paying a percentage to the people that sold them the cameras.
Well, exactly. And you know what? I used to work in that world, Zori. That's what I did for a living. I worked at a reseller that sold shit like that.
Yeah.
They make money forever, and then they make money for maintenance and for support and for upgrades and for whatever. It's an endless cycle of sucking the municipalities once you get your claws in there. That's what it's about, man. That's how you have a business. See, I wouldn't do that, but we'd have to find a way to work together, and it would probably have to be at a bigger level.
You could certainly undercut all those other, you know, but you've got the idea. I mean, you should, like, do something.
I could hire staff then. Shelly, you want to come work for me?
There you go. Oh, there you go.
Look at this. Someone just put it in chat, but it's on eBay. An 8-gig hard drive waterproof smartwatch camera, DVR, DV digital recorder, video cam for $21.99. Wear that in case the cops come along.
There you go. Actually,
yeah, it looks just like a watch.
We should put that into the UCY Amazon store.
I'll check and see if Amazon has it.
Got it. Yeah, eBay. Holy shit.
That's funny.
And then they wouldn't even know they're being recorded. Like with their phone, they'll say, well, put your phone down.
They'll take the phone and they'll smash it, or they'll take your card. Absolutely.
But with this, it looks just like a plain watch.
That's great.
Amazing. I'm getting one.
Just hit the button. Hit the button, Batman.
I am. I just did.
Hey,
you know what?
So
here's another UCY research project. Now, remember, you guys all had homework. I don't know if we can get to it today.
I'm working on the forfeiture. I have got so much data. I have to put it all together by state and everything.
Well, wait, Zori. I don't know if you saw. Somebody dropped a link. I think you were getting ready for work, but someone dropped a link, and then I think even Brandon ended up dropping it to me, just the general one. It's www.ij.org.
IJ.org?
Institute for Justice. There's a drop down, and you can pick any state, and it says policing for profit.
Sweet.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they all get grades. They all get graded, and then there's a little blurb about their forfeiture law.
Yeah, and you know, I have the origination, where forfeiture originated and how it went dormant for years, what year it came back up in 1977, and I went from there on. But it was IJ what?
I think it's just IJ.org. Hold on, let me get back there.
Yeah, because I have...
Yes, IJ.org, Institute for Justice is what it's...
and it has it by state.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a drop down for state. Yeah, that's great. Go look at your state because you might be surprised.
I did. Believe me, it was the first one I went to.
I meant listeners, but I know. Me too.
And I'm doing it by state. And you know what? Siskiyou County, it's like how many forfeitures they did a year. Siskiyou County did 2. That's right up the street from me. That's where State of Jefferson wants to be.
Well, that's good too, isn't that bad at all?
And there was one state that had none. And it all went by the preponderance of evidence. Some of them was, it went according to how their laws were set up. Like preponderance of evidence only took in this much. And probable cause took in this much. The ones that got 100%, they were the highest. And there's this equal sharing where a lot of the places where they only get a percentage, well, all the rest of the money goes in this fund and then it's distributed to all of them. So they get the money when they come take your property or whatever, when they sell it. Some of them get 100%, but the ones that get like 70%, the 30% goes into a general fund and then it is distributed again to everybody. So you get paid double.
So, wait. Because we're bouncing around too much. So what you're basically saying is that there's the ones that have the most civil forfeitures have financial incentive because they get a large majority of the proceeds from selling, auctioning off your belongings. They seem to have a higher percentage of forfeitures than counties who don't. Is that what you were just...
Well, that and it's according to what the law... Every county has a different structure. Some, you have to have probable cause. Then it's lower. Some... If they just, you don't have to have probable cause. You are guilty before you're innocent. And those are real high.
Right. And so this is in the vein of police corruption, like we've been talking about all morning. I mean, this falls under policing for profit. And we've seen so much in the recent past that's come out. There was a whistleblower just recently that came out. And though we've always known about quotas and tickets, there was a cop that came out that talked about it.
Yeah,
and,
well, three or four cops are in the suit against the police department. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here, I want to play something, actually, that might tie a little bit of this together. This is that thing I was talking about with that banking and greed, just money or greed or incentive. You know, I've talked about this so many times, that dangling carrot, guys.
Yeah.
Dangling carrots create corruption.
Come out. There was a whistleblower just recently that came out, though we've always known about quotas and tickets.
How did that just, like, start playing out of the blue? It wasn't when I first connected.
It's weird stuff happening.
All right, hold on. Let me kill that. I don't know how that just started playing out of the blue. Okay, here we go again.
Accusations that the world of banking is corrupt are common, but now scientists have actually proved that banking breeds dishonesty, and here's why.
Now, we're going to stop for a second. This is about banking, but I'm going to say let's take this a step further. It's about the financial carrot. People who are motivated by money, who would sell their mother down the river if they were given $1 million. Screw her. Chuck her off the train. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And there are people like that. I know people like that who would do anything for money.
Yeah,
well,
bankers in particular.
But, I mean, just like the policing for profit. I mean, Zori, if there is an incentive, right, to find a way to make someone look guilty so you can gain their assets over
them,
and you have the ability to do that, and there's incentive to do that. Maybe this person was, a thorn in your side, like Reverend Pinckney.
Yeah.
Talked about him. He's been in their face in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and now they're going to send him away. They are sending him away. They are trying to put him in 20 or 25 years to life right now for election fraud that hasn't even been proven to be true.
Right. It's not his signature. They have proved it wasn't his signature.
Right. Exactly. They had handwriting experts come, and they said that absolutely is not his, and they're still trying to railroad him. This is all part of the same problem, corruption, and the corruption is bred through greed.
Yep.
Here we go.
Financial gain is at the heart of banking culture, and so according to a new study, this fuels greed and dishonesty, making bankers more likely to cheat. So how did this come about? Well, researchers at the University of Zurich conducted a laboratory game with bankers and repeated it with other types of workers for comparison. They found that bank employees were more inclined to be dishonest. 128 workers from all levels at a large international bank and about 80 staff from a range of other banks were divided into a treatment group and a control group. The treatment group answered simple questions about their profession, and the control group were asked questions unrelated to work. In the experiment, both groups were asked to toss a coin without anyone watching and report the results, knowing a heads or tails would give them a $20 reward. They were told they can keep the winnings if they were more than or equal to those in another group. The results showed that the control group reported a 51% win, and those in the treatment group reported a 58% win.
Stop. Do you know why that's significant? Because don't point it out in here. They don't point it out in here, but I remember this from my probability and statistics class. One group, the control group, who weren't motivated by money, got a 51% heads or tails. But the other group that would get a $20 win if they won over the other groups got a 58% heads or tails, however they figured it out.
Yep.
But the thing is that we're using probability and statistics. If you flip a coin to infinity, it always will be right around 50% that you'll get heads or tails.
Right.
Not 58%.
Right. Exactly.
Which means that they skewed the results.
Or that, they totally lied
cheated, yes. Is what it means. So here we go.
This revealed that they had misrepresented by 16%, and 26% of those participating were cheaters. In comparison to employees from other professions, such as manufacturing, telecoms, and pharmaceuticals, it was the bankers who turned out to be far more dishonest.
They didn't mention cops, though. So there you go.
They didn't mention cops. They didn't test the cops.
No, but I'm going to tell you that this study was really an eye-opener to me, because this proves what we've been saying, that carrot. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I worked 20 hours a day at my job if there was an incentive. I worked as an engineer for salespeople. So guess what? The more sales we made, the more commission I'd get. So when there was a big, fat, dangling carrot, it didn't matter if I was working all weekend, if I was working all night long, because that big, fat, dangling carrot kept me chasing it all the time.
Right.
It's like the dogs in the rabbit race.
That's right.
Yep.
And this is what they've got us occupied with our minds, so that we don't look around us and question everything else that's happening in our environment.
Well, it is. It's how they control. I mean, people who are in the workforce, like my dad even said, he's like, well, you know, all those years I was working, I was too tired by the time I got home. Exactly. I just wanted to have my dinner and watch the news for 10 minutes and then go lay down.
Yep.
You know, and he didn't pay attention to anything. But on the flip side, he was more motivated by the paycheck than worrying about all this other bullshit going on. On the flip side, though, bankers, so I mean, we already know Wall Street and all the international banking cartel. You also have the police, policing for profit. Let's go after convictions. Let's try to get tickets. Let's try to use our civil forfeiture. When they were incented by funds, there is a higher incidence per the numbers of civil forfeitures. Are there not? Sorry.
Yep.
I mean, it's showing the same fact. It is greed.
Greed. And especially greed. The ones who get 100%, they get to keep 100%.
Oh,
off
hell yeah.
The charts. Off yeah. The billions of
it's
billions
a freaking
of dollars.
Free for all.
Yep. Sure is. And science now backs it. We got to remove the incentive. Hey, look at lobbyists. You know why lobbyists
get
their
big
way?
Time. Big
they
time.
Buy the votes. Huge. We have no vote.
You don't have a vote at all. Because
oh
guess
God.
What? There's millions of dollars in it for the congressmen.
Yes.
If they do what the lobbyists tell them to do.
Exactly. Bingo.
That's why, you know, when I think about the golden calf in historical texts, and then when I went to Wall Street, there is. There's a big gold freaking bull in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about, guys. It's all about money. And it's about selling the planet, selling your brothers and sisters, selling everybody for that almighty buck. Isn't that disgusting?
That soon will be worth like as much as toilet paper.
Yeah, that's the big joke.
Right.
And
that's
so
the big
blatant,
joke.
And people still think the cops are out there to protect them.
Nope. But that's where I think a lot of the corruption came from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That and the drug war started the forfeiture. The
well, yes, and guess what? It. They take a lot of those drugs, too.
Yep. Sure. You know? They're the assholes that bring them in the first place. So it's definitely a giant scam on the entire population of the world.
Well, and even step beyond the police departments and go to the military. Did you happen to see that as part of this immigration thing, Obama slipped through that now we're staying in Afghanistan through 2015?
Yes.
I guess the poppy crops did a whole lot better than they expected.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo there too.
What is that about? And I didn't see that in the news anywhere.
Oh my God.
Actually, I think anti-media caught that this morning. I might have seen that. First thing.
Is there like an article there?
I had some videos.
Ooh, even better.
Oh, you know what?
What?
I don't see it in the headlines, but here we'll find it. Let's find it. Boner. Boner.
Oh, I guess Chuck Hagel is freaking resigning today.
He is.
Yeah.
I missed that one.
It's hot off the presses right now. As
well, is that because we're staying in Afghanistan? What's that about?
I think so.
Because like that came out of the blue.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts, man. Heads are starting to roll. Hopefully here. Hopefully this is like some kind of a tipping point where it could go either way.
I don't know. Because if you look at what's going on everywhere, there's a tipping point like in 8 different places now where they're all sort of standing on a little balancing board on the edge of the lava.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, well, and think about it. We got Ferguson. Ferguson is going to be interesting, regardless of what happens, regardless if Wilson resigns, regardless if you got 100 FBI and DHS there. Regardless. Now, like I said, KKK and Anonymous and all these people buying guns to protect themselves. Gun sales are off the charts. I mean, we got a lot of issues all mixed up in this one event. But we also have Russia, Ukraine, Syria, right? Did you see Benghazi? They came out and said, nope. All you conspiracy people were absolutely wrong. We just finished our investigation of Benghazi, and nope, you were wrong. We've decided that there was no wrongdoing right on the heels of, or the front heels, the toes of the 2016 election, where Hillary still might try to insert herself.
Oh, you know what? Then that's it. I mean, anything goes now. I mean, with this gauntlet that Obama dropped with the executive order on immigration and now this, that's it. I think they've just signed the freaking death warrant of this country.
Well, it's interesting because with this immigration thing, if you really listen to what Barry said, it wasn't what I expected. It absolutely was not. It was not that he's opening the door and giving everyone amnesty. He's giving 5 million people amnesty out of how many? Isn't there like 140 million or some crazy number like that?
Yeah, probably.
But the way he worded it, you got to come out of the shadows now. You got to register. You got to pay your fair share because you haven't been paying your taxes. I'll tell you what, if I were an illegal and I heard that, I don't think I'd be stepping on that train too quickly. It almost sounded like, let's get you to register so we know who you are.
Yep, that's exactly it. And they're definitely lining up for that. You know it.
You know, so anyone who's hopping on that bandwagon quickly, you know, this is like, again, being tempted by the carrot. Guys, it's all about greed and being tempted. You should always, 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 if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, exactly.
Caveat emptor. We learned that in fifth grade. My social studies teacher, he used to go over and over, caveat emptor. Always remember that, he'd say.
Wow, that's awesome.
He's probably long dead.
And it stuck with you all this time.
Sure did. Buyer beware.
Yep.
I mean, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And the other one was, there is no free lunch. That was the other one. Someone's always paying for it. There is no free lunch.
If it's too good to be true, it's
probably not true. Yeah. Always pay attention and have those little hackles up on the back of your neck. Yeah. And always question. Don't take something for face value.
There is no such thing as free anymore.
No, there's no, well, there never was. There's no free lunch.
Yeah, there's always something that you have to give in order to get.
Right.
Well, that guy really shaped you, didn't he, Jewel?
He did. His name was Feinauer. That was his last name.
Right on.
He was pretty awesome. He was an ex-vet, and he used to carry this metal yardstick that when, you know, it was like late afternoon, we had his class. He was really good, though. He actually made, I hated social studies. I hated history back in those days because it was just so dry and boring.
Uh-huh.
Like, if we did it now with all of the, you know, the documentaries that are out there and the reenactments, I think I would have totally been into it. But
well, if they would have told us the truth back then, we would have probably been interested.
Well, and see, that's the one cool thing about him is that he had been through Vietnam.
Wow.
And he might have had some PTSD issues because I'll tell you here in a minute. But he used to give us like little, you know, we'd go through the book and you'd have to read segments. You know, each of us took turns reading to the class and then we'd talk about it. But he would embellish like he was telling a story. And that was why it was interesting in his class and things stuck with me. But that was an afternoon, like 2 o'clock, you know, one of the last classes of the day. And especially in like May or June when it was warm and you didn't have air conditioning and you didn't know if it was going to be warm or cold. So you wore like a sweater or a sweatshirt that day. So you're all sweaty and it was after lunch and you're like, oh God. He'd take this 3-foot metal yardstick and he'd be walking as he's talking and he'd march over to the blower in front of the window where the heat would blow out. And he would stop talking and he'd go bang, and the whole room would resonate and we'd all like snap to position. And then he'd like give a smirk and then he'd keep talking.
Oh my
he'd
god,
scare the shit out of you.
Great. What a great dude, man.
Yeah, he might have been, God, I don't know if he was like fifth or sixth grade, maybe. I was pretty young. But yeah, so anyway.
Neat. That's a neat story.
How'd we get off?
It's a good story though, darn it.
I was trying to get back to Obama. Oh yeah, and hiding in the shadows. Maybe. I don't know. I lost my train of thought now.
We were talking about
immigration.
We're all like, what the fuck? All right, here.
No free.
I don't even.
Can't get things for free. That kind of.
Yeah, actually, there is no free lunch. Right. We were going to take a look at Obama announcing that we were staying in Afghanistan. Oh, Benghazi! That's what it was.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, hold on. How you don't believe things they tell you either. Let me do Benghazi. Benghaze. And I think that was on Pigmine. I almost died when I saw the headline. And I'm like, am I supposed to be believing this? No. Mainstream news. New report. Quashes conspiracies surrounding Benghazi attack. So take that, you conspiracy theorists. Touche, because nothing went wrong and there were no views on this.
Oh my God, no way.
Because everyone said, yeah. All right, here we go.
Late yesterday, there were new findings about the attack in Benghazi, Libya in 2012 that led to the deaths of Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans. Ken Delanian of the Associated Press wrote about it, joins us now from Washington. So, Ken, what were...
We're going to stop here for a second, and just in case anyone listening doesn't understand why this is important, Benghazi was the touch-off point for everything that is going on now in the Middle East, Syria, Iraq, ISIS.
Yes.
I mean, this was where the guns are being run out of, as they're claiming jihad, letting all the crazies out of the Guantanamo-esque prisons to train them in Qatar and Turkey, and then pat them on the butts with the U.S. weapons shipped out of Libya.
Yes.
And send them into Syria. This was the point. And Hillary Clinton bumped her head, couldn't remember when she testified, and then stepped down as Secretary of State, if you remember.
That's right.
And now, and fingers were pointed at her, blah, blah, blah. But now, as 2016 is coming up, oh, they just found new evidence that says that nothing wrong happened in Benghazi, paving the way for Hillary Clinton to go la, 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 and step back onto the world stage.
What does it matter anyway?
It doesn't. So here we go.
The findings.
Well, Hari, this report essentially debunked almost every criticism that had been leveled at the Obama administration over this incident. It basically said that there was no intent to mislead the American public about it, that the CIA and the military acted appropriately, and that many of the conspiracy theories that have been out there about cover-ups and dark forces at work were not accurate. And principally...
I want to stop for a second. Are you hearing this?
I want to.
Are you hearing the... Yeah. You know what this is? Right now, the Democratic Party is in the doghouse, okay?
Yeah.
There was the sweeping midterm elections where they all got voted out and Republicans are now in charge. But they don't want a Republican for president. They want one of their Democratic puppets, and I think Hillary Clinton is who they want to shoo into that seat.
Yeah.
And because of that, they now have to try to show that everything that the alternative media has been winning the information war about, showing the corruption, showing the bullshit, is not true, quote unquote, by this case. I think that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, just because they say it's not true, now it's not true. None of it.
Right. And they're going to tell everybody, the voting public, that it's not true. We just signed this executive order to give the illusion of giving illegals a path to citizenship so now you guys can all vote Democratic too in 2016. Think about it.
Here it comes, guys.
Here it comes. We're paving the way.
Yep.
Most interesting finding for me is that after the weekend after the attack, the then ambassador of the United Nations, Susan Rice, went on the Sunday show, as many viewers may remember, and said that the attack had evolved from a peaceful protest. That turned out to be wrong, and she and the administration took a lot of flack as a result of that error. This report by the House Intelligence Committee, which is a Republican-controlled committee, essentially says that Rice was relying on intelligence that was provided to her from the CIA and other intelligence agencies. And in fact, points out that there were 21 intelligence reports that said that there had been a protest at this diplomatic facility. That those turned out to be wrong, but the intelligence picture was incredibly confused. And so the report found that there was no intent to mislead by anybody in the government about
it. 21 reports were all wrong. What, did you just say that?
There was no mention of that film that they blamed, too. Yet that filmmaker, that film that they blamed for this crap, is still in jail.
Yes, where it looked like it was the whole Muhammad thing, right?
Yeah.
And where you can't show his likeness, and that came out. Yes.
Ooh, memory holes. Really shallow, aren't they? That's what they're banking on.
Yep.
They're
all right,
banking on it.
What happened here?
Okay, so what makes this particular committee or this particular finding different? There have been previous investigations, right?
Yeah, this is the seventh congressional investigation, I believe, and the eighth overall. And this essentially mirrored some of the findings of the other investigations, particularly on the role of the military. But this one, the House Intelligence Committee has access to classified intelligence and CIA personnel that other committees don't have. And so this report got the deepest into what the intelligence said, you know, who carried out the attack, what their motivations were. And in fact, it pointed out that to this day, that's not completely clear. But what was also significant about this is that it's a Republican-controlled committee. The chairman is Mike Rogers, outgoing retiring member from Michigan, a very partisan Republican. But he concluded, and his colleagues concluded, that many of the charges against the Obama administration, which have been leveled by Republicans, this has been a big political issue. Many of those charges are just simply don't hold up. Okay.
All right, I'm going to stop here because there's a couple things that he said.
Mike Rogers is a wanker. Let me start by saying
that.
Well, right,
and he's retiring.
Yeah.
And
ooh,
you
really
know what? They probably got dirt on him and caught him with hookers somewhere.
Hell
and
yeah.
So they said, you know what? This is the seventh time that we are having this committee look at this evidence, man. We got to get it right this time. Now, one of the other things that he said that I thought was interesting is that the reason why the other six committees didn't find that there was no wrongdoing is because they didn't have access to all this classified material that, oops, by the way, wink, is classified, so we can't tell you about.
Interest of national
security. Bullshit! Yeah. Oh, my God, this is such utter bullshit.
It's like the 9/11 commission.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. This is putting a nice pink bow on it and giving it a big kiss on the ass. Goodbye.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. All right.
Wrapped up. They're going
to
do this.
Can we listen to a little bit more before we run out of time? All right.
So what are the repercussions now? Does this change? I think there's one more committee that could have findings.
Well, there is a select committee that is supposed to continue an investigation into this issue. And they have said they will take this latest finding into account. But some of the key Republicans on that committee have come out and said, look, this House Intelligence Committee report debunks a lot of the questions you guys have been raising. So let's focus on what we all agree was a shortcoming in this incident, which is that facility was not well protected. The State Department, part of the facility in particular, was not well protected. The people guarding it knew that, and they had asked for more better security from Washington, and that was not granted. Everyone agrees that
that didn't grant it.
And the hope is that this, at least among Democrats, that this committee can focus on that shortcoming and rectifying it and better protecting diplomatic facilities around the world.
I thought Hillary Clinton was the one who was tasked with providing that security.
She was.
One of the key points.
She was.
Notice he doesn't say that.
Right.
He did say that there was wrongdoing there. So that's interesting.
But it's not really Hillary. It's wrongdoing, but it's not really Hillary.
Not really Hillary. Right. Okay, here, a little bit more.
Any idea how many dollars all these investigations cost?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, but it's got to be tens of millions. I mean, there's document gathering that takes place. There've been this probe alone. There were 20 hearings or events by the House Intelligence Committee. They talked to dozens of people, reviewed thousands of documents. It's been an enormous undertaking. I think we'll never know how much time executive branch personnel have spent responding to these inquiries.
All right, Ken Delaney of the Associated Press.
Responding to these inquiries, meaning fabricating evidence to me, or shredding documents,
Deleting
hard drives.
Exactly.
Bumping heads.
One chick that she was shredding documents, and she said, I probably should have kept them since there was an investigation going on, but I shredded them anyway.
Yeah, that was way back when.
Yeah.
By the way, on a final note, and maybe we can kick off with this tomorrow, they found 30,000 Lois Lerner emails.
Oh boy!
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll be able. Did they find the 30,000 emails? Because now the investigation is concluded.
Still has it going on.
Is it still going on? Well, then this might get exciting.
Yep.
We need to check this out tomorrow. Yeah, there's a clip on that.
The Benghazi going too.
Well, no. According to that, they just finished, and there was no wrongdoing.
Except
for security, but we're not going to mention who is responsible for that.
No, and it's not really Hillary.
And it's not really Hillary. That's what we were just listening to, is the final findings in the 7th committee hearing on Benghazi.
Yeah, they just said that.
Okay, I thought that was from before.
No, that was from yesterday.
Oh, shoot.
All right, guys, guess what? We got 20 seconds left, if you can even believe it.
Wow.
All right, well, I'm sorry about the technical issues this morning. Our streaming service provider was having issues, and it lost the connection to my Sam's. So we didn't get to the beginning of the show, but that's okay because everything turned out all right for Monday. And it was Monday anyway. Thank you so much, ladies, for hanging out today. It was a great conversation. Thank you so much for listening, and try to enjoy the warm weather while it lasts.
Not here.
Guess what? 28 degrees tomorrow night.
Bye, everybody.
All right, everybody, have a happy Monday. Stick around. Good radio tonight. Everyone, take care.